Good afternoon to everyone, and I know I haven't made it around to everyone to ask how their feast was. I know we enjoyed getting to see our granddaughter and our son and our parents. You know, we just spent 8 days practicing what God's kingdom will be like, what it pictures, where everyone will know God's way of life, and they'll be living a way of peace, and there'll be a time of abundance, and there will be justice. You know, after 8 days of being separated from the world, it's hard to be tossed right back into the world's way of living, isn't it? I know I try to not watch the news so much, maybe the weather, but I don't try to keep up with the political scene. And wow, I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted. I'm just wore out from seeing all just the way mankind is. Man's nature comes out, you know, with the hate, the lies. But it's hard to watch our country just, you know, destroy itself. Especially these past 4 years, it seems like everything has just really gone down, in my opinion. You know, we know what God's plan says, and we know what God says must take place before He returns. And we must endure to the end. You know, thankfully God, in 2 Timothy, it's recorded in chapter 1, that God gives us a sound mind. I believe that He does, and He doesn't give us the spirit of fear, because I talk to other people, and, you know, some of them, they're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. Well, none of us do. I mean, we know God's plan, but it's a scary time. I mean, it's interesting, and it's different trying times that we live in today. You know, there's a frequent call for social justice. And if you want a title, I would say, what is justice? You can just put that at the top. In recent years, you know, the schools have changed their names. People have taken down statues of Civil War generals. They've torn down the Ten Commandments and the plaques, you know, in our courthouses. They've removed them. Kids cannot pray at school. You know, there's so many things. It's like we're trying to change history when we take these statues down, or the history part. They don't want that as a part of America anymore. It doesn't make sense to me. They're doing all this in the name of social justice. You know, our political leaders have defined numerous different titles for genders, if you want to be called this or that, to avoid offending anyone. You know, it's all been done in the name of political correctness. You know, we know through the years there have been historic and noble efforts to end slavery, to fight against racism, as well as efforts to stop human trafficking. You know, that's also been pursued under the label of social justice. And some of those are good, great things. You know, they're all dedicated to the attainment of justice in some sort of fashion or manner. But the question is, you know, that's seldom asked by people is, what is justice? What is justice? You know, or injustice, maybe. That would be another question. Injustice, I would say, would be not allowing people to eat in a restaurant because of the color of their skin. That would be unjust. Not hiring a person because of color of their skin or their sex. That would be unjust as well, wouldn't it? Especially if both people are qualified, but they don't hire because they have a preference. Whatever our personal feelings and opinions, you know, about these individual causes, but they're still labeled as a social justice. It's clear that some of these cases are in the Bible. They're addressed in Scripture. So let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, where Peter opened his mouth, it says here in verse 34 and verse 35, he says, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." I thank Mr. Cordue for his sermonette, because we're going to be talking about some of the same things. There's a theme here that's connected to justice. It's being righteous. It's living the right way and obedience to God, fearing God, obeying His laws. You know, God's always worked with Israel through the years, trying to get them to obey Him so that then other nations would follow. But they rejected Him. You know, in verse 36, we read here, it says, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. It says, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. You know, God doesn't accept people based on the fact that the color of their skin or any other physical attribute. You know, he accepts them based on his law, what's right and what is wrong. He defines those things right here, what's on your lap in the Bible. That tells us what God wants. That tells us right from wrong. That's the beginning of wisdom. And our leaders lack wisdom. We can see that every day. They don't look to God, then they don't look to the Bible. He accepts people on what's right and what is wrong. He defines those things, like I said, in the Bible, and he looks at our heart. You know, God says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind and give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Also in Isaiah, God says that his ways are not man's ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, he says, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts that you're higher than your thoughts. And, you know, on our own, man just cannot attain godly thoughts. We can't do it without God. It takes God in us. In Proverbs, God says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of death. And we see that even with the best of intentions, man's way leads to death, and that's eternal death. You know, God's way leads to eternal life. What the world needs is to start putting God back instead of removing him from everything. They need to put him back in their lives to have justice in our nation. That's the only way. God knows that we can't have true justice without him. That's why he says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than ours. You know, God is impartial. He wants obedience. And if we obey him, then we will be in God's kingdom. Not because you're a certain race or a certain people or a certain sex. That's how the world wants to determine things. Biblical justice is universal, and it requires that we be just and merciful towards everyone, right? God's way is love towards those who repent and change. Those who show repentance and obedience to God and the ones that love thy neighbor. That's what God wants. You know, in Exodus 22, let's turn to Exodus chapter 22 and start verse 21. You know, God points out that not only does he hear the cries of those who've been oppressed, says that we must take care to not mistreat them. Here it says, you shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. It says, if you afflict them in any way and they cry to me, I will surely hear their cry. You know, God is watching his people. He's searching and seeing if we do these things. The Bible speaks a great deal about the subject of justice. And as Christians, you and I, we should align our views with God's views, what the Bible teaches. We shouldn't view what the latest cause is in the world or what they're spotlighting. You know, the world is choosing it for itself, what it thinks is right. And it's not looking towards God for answers. Let's turn to Proverbs 21, starting in verse 15. You know, it says it's a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. You know, what's been going on in our nation today? Has it been a joyful process? Don't think it's been really joyful for many people. And I might throw out a question to you, you know, and it's kind of silly, but are our leaders just? Are they just? Do they have wisdom? Let's turn a few chapters ahead to chapter 29 here in Proverbs. Proverbs 29, verse 2. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. And it seems like to me we sure had a lot of groaning in the last 9 months. And we have many wicked leaders in our country. You know, the people are groaning because of all the wicked rulers. By, I say wicked, by not obeying God and not, you know, even following the law that we have as man's law. They do what they want. And it's only going to continue to get worse. And that's what's kind of scary, kind of uneasy feeling of what going to happen soon. We just don't know. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 19. You know, God's word says, shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, because a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise, and it twists the words of the righteous. Well, what about what we heard about one of the candidate's sons, you know, taking bribes from other countries in exchange for his father's influence? You know, God says here, taking a bribe, it perverts judgment, causes unfair ways, and we know that that's the case. Let's turn to Micah chapter 6. These are not new thoughts or concepts, it's just things we need to look at. Every once in a while, we need to review what God says. Here in Micah 6, starting in verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? And we heard from Mr. Cordieu in Deuteronomy. But it says here, it says, do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In other words, we're to be obedient to God, to actively be doing what God says, and striving to learn about God's thoughts and what His ways are, which is His ways are love towards everybody else, the outward way, towards others. It's not for the self. In all these scriptures, we see justice connected with righteousness and obedience to God. It's a way of living that is loving to all. We see a connection to be refraining from sin, being merciful to others, you know, show no partiality, either for or against. We do not find scriptures is based, you know, that partiality is based on identity, that justice is based on identities or sex or ethnic background. You know, as our society wants to do now, they want to try to force you to, you can't hire this guy because he's not of this, or that woman, you know, I mean, they have so many rules. God doesn't go by that. If you're obedient, then you're right with God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3:7, just a few chapters ahead here. You know, John the Baptist warned the Pharisees and Sadducees about thinking they were automatically saved because of their heritage. Matthew 3, verse 7, it says, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not say to yourself, you know, we have Abraham as our father, so we've already got it made. That's not the case, is it? He said, that's not going to do you any good. He says, For I say to you that God's able to raise up children unto Abraham from these stones. You know, John warned him to repent. He warned them to change the way they were thinking and the way they were living, and to be bearing fruit worthy to be able to ask for forgiveness. Well, so what does this mean to you and me? You know, to be a just people. We must be just to everyone, right? If we're leaning towards the minority, but we're unjust to the majority, well, aren't we still unjust? I mean, if we cater to being just to women, but not men, I mean, we're still unjust. And it's vice versa. I mean, you could go on and on, whether the rich or the poor. If you're just to one and not to the other, well, you're still unjust. You know, the examples could go on and on, but I know you get the idea. But being just to some and not to others, you know, it just, that's not God's way. Biblical justice requires that we be just and merciful to everyone, extending the benefit of the doubt, seeking to understand other people. The justice of our society is often partial in nature, unlike God's justice, which shows no partiality. You know, if we behave that way, we can kind of get the mindset of the world. You know, we have to watch our thoughts. As humans, we can never see what's in the heart of the other person. You know, God can look and see, and He knows. We can look at the fruits of other people, and we can determine whether they're following God, and then we can act accordingly, but we don't condemn them. If the world seems to be in line with your thoughts, brethren, then maybe you need to look at your thoughts and see if they align with God, because I guarantee you they don't. We need to be searching ourselves and compare with what God says, what the Bible says, what His thoughts are. You know, instead of being like the world, we as God's people, we look to the future. I mean, we just lived it for 8 days. We're looking for that future, that Christ returns, and it's going to be a peace and a world event that, you know, can't compare to what we have now. It can only come through the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, His justice is blind. It's impartial. It's fairness to all. You know, we've never had that type of justice or fairness in our lives, but it will ultimately be perfected in the kingdom of God. You know, God balances justice with mercy by considering what's in your heart, what's in my heart, what's in the other person's heart. I know we read it, but let's turn to Jeremiah 17, and you can read it again, get it in our hearts and our minds. Jeremiah chapter 17, 10 says here, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You know, God is not just the God of justice, but he's also the God of mercy. You know, both his justice towards those who willfully disobey him, and his mercy towards those, you know, who respect him, who seek him and ask for forgiveness so that they can obey him and be even closer. You know, let's turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, you know, that's the Ten Commandments. It's recorded in the second of his Ten Commandments here. Exodus 20, starting in verse 5. It ends in these words. It says, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. In other words, those that don't obey, that don't listen. But here it says, showing mercy to thousands, or to the thousandth generation, if you want to carry it that far, to those who love me and keep my commandment. You know, God wants us to obey. We know that Peter was inspired. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and starting in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, God balances justice with mercy by considering what's in your heart and what's in the other person's heart. He's looking to see if there remains any possibility of repentance. So as long as that possibility exists, God's not willing that any of us should perish, you know, but that all should come to repentance. But then, you know, there will be a time when those who refuse to repent will perish. You know, that's why the New Covenant administration of God's law considers first the attitude of the one who has sinned. The one who is willing to sin no more is eligible for mercy and not condemnation. But those who continue to sin and choose to, Jesus Christ said in Luke, he said, unless you repent, you all likewise will perish. You know, this is the law, he says. This is the way. Walk in it. Do you remember back at the very beginning of the Bible when the first murder was recorded, when God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he didn't Cain? Was that fair? Well, what did God say? He said, why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, he said, then you will be accepted. You know, God's fair. We have to obey. You know, we have a warning here from Paul in Colossians. He talks about in chapter 2, we can turn there and take a look here. He was dealing with closely related things like we are today. It's not biblical, the thoughts that we have. It's human traditions, a lot of things that get us in trouble. Colossians 2, verse 8, he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You know, when we hear a lot of these just causes, they sound great, you know, until you start to see, well, if they riot and they burn, is that great? Is that good? A good change? I mean, that's not, you don't bring about change by destroying other people and harming them. It says here, for in him dwells, speaking of Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You know, he says, see to it that nobody deceives you by crafty talking or through hollow deceptions or philosophy that gets our minds thinking, you know, that maybe, oh, maybe that's right. But God's way is what we need to base our principles on. You know, the basic principles of the world rather than Christ. We have to compare and see what's what. You know, Paul was not fighting biblical ideas, but worldly philosophy, ideas rooted in tradition. You know, and today, it's human tradition, not God's law, that's being taught. You know, we just watched how our representatives in Congress chose the next Supreme Court justice. That was pretty sad to see that they want to put down someone who stands up for godly ways. They don't want something balanced. Oh, you know, I mean, excuse me, they do. They think, well, we got so many that are liberal, we got to have so many to equal out the balance of. But, you know, they just can't see it's God's law that gives us the justice. You know, they don't want anybody standing up for godly morals. It can't be, you know, a sway to one way or the other. They don't like that. You know, even if they did have everyone that was a God-fearing person on there, they still wouldn't do it right. We just can't, as humans, we can't do that. They can't see that they need all their judges to be God-fearing, obeying. And that'd be the only chance we'd have of being fair and just. But they're blinded by the God of this world, and we know that's in Romans 8, chapter 8 and verse 7. Long ago, Paul pointed out the real cause of thinking when God inspired him to write, "For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God, because it does not submit itself to God or to God's law, and it's unable to do so." You know, so as long as that dominates our mind, we'll never achieve justice or peace. God's solution is to write His law in our hearts and in our minds. And for that to happen, we must drop those human traditions, the way of thinking. Things that are contrary to God's laws. You know, there's a tradition promoting hostility and division instead of peace, love, and unity. The true Christian teaching is, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and they're not burdensome." We know that was in First John 5:3. But our human reasoning wants us to be free from God. We can't see that that's the very thing that's keeping us from having peace in our country. We're just blinded. No matter what form of government man comes up with, it'll never be fair to everybody. You know, we're always going to have partial, unfair rulership because of greed and power. Those that want to be in charge, you know, God's way is fair. Man's way is not fair and never will be. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, starting verse 5. You know, God has used His prophets through time to warn His people. And here it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited." You know, we see without God, we're not blessed. Relying on our own strength, we're like that shrub in the desert. We're nothing, and we're unable to grow spiritually. Verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And it will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Once again, you know, God says we can't trust ourselves. We can't put our trust in man. It's only through God and Jesus Christ, and without God's Spirit, we're unable to produce any good fruit. You know, God says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who thinks that that's the, you know, the strength." That's not our strength. It turns us away from God, doesn't it? When we rely on ourselves, we exalt ourselves, and we're not close to God as we should be. We need to be careful that we don't get caught up in anything of today's society, following the trends or the popular thoughts. We need to ask ourselves continually, does it follow what the Bible teaches? And if it doesn't, then we don't go there. You know, we can plainly see that our leaders, for the most part, have no wisdom because they're not looking to God. They're just not looking. And we know that that's the beginning of wisdom, to fear God and to obey Him. God says, well, let's turn to Proverbs 28. We're not that far away. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. You know, where do we go to look for wisdom? God says, "He who trusts in his own heart is what? Is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered." You know, we don't want to be fooled by the world, do we? To have our salvation taken away? We want to walk wisely, to know God's word. We need to be looking into God's word for wisdom, not the worldly wisdom that's temporary. Let's turn back to Proverbs 3, verse 1. Proverbs 3, verse 1. You know, God gave this message to His people here. He says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on your tablet of your heart, and so find favor and esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." You know, God wants so much for His people to obey and to be happy. He wants man to be happy. But we see as a nation, we're getting further and further from God. And as we do, brethren, as the nation gets further, are we going with it? Are we moving with it? Or are we staying with God? Those are questions I have to ask myself, too. Do we get caught up? I was so frustrated watching the news. You know, I tell my wife I can't stand it no more. I don't want to see any more. Turn the channel. You know, it's so, you know, do I get bent out of shape like everybody else? No, I shouldn't. Mentally, sometimes I do. Let's turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. You know, there again, God gives us a spirit of sound mind, and we got to use it. We got to stir it up. You know, Romans 12, in Paul's day, he warned the Romans what to do, and that still applies as today to us as Christians today. So here in verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, only you can do that yourself. You know, your mate can't do it for you. I can't do it, and somebody can't do it for me. It's up to you to present yourself a living sacrifice, doing God's will, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, the perfect will of God. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who, says, persecute you. All right? Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. It says, do not be wise in our own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And it says, if it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, we need to follow God's way, and that's not always an easy thing to do when someone's giving you a hard time, to love them, you know, to keep a right attitude. But we need to be right with God. So let's turn to Romans 2, verse 2. You know, God's righteous judgment here. It says in verse 2, but we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. He's talking about the lawlessness of God's laws. He says, do not think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and are doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God. You know, God's talking to us. Do we do the things that we shouldn't be doing? He's judging us right now. He says, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in ordinance with your hardness of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. You know, there's here it says, verse 11, there is no partiality with God. You know, unlike our government and our judicial system, it isn't perfect. There's too many unfair decisions. You know, you hear of murder cases, this person will get life, and then you hear of another murder case, and they get out in 5 to 10 years. And you think, well, where's the justice? Where's the fairness? Well, there is none. You know, there is no justice and fairness on man's earth. You know, so, if, you know, when I wrote this, I've been in the process of a few weeks. I was getting kind of overwhelmed feeling. You got the COVID going on. People, you hear of sicknesses and people dying, and then the political scene. It's kind of getting overwhelmed, you know. I'm thinking, man, but we should never feel that way, because God is there for us. We should get down on our knees and ask him for that peace in our life, you know, even though things are falling around us. You know, God is able and does give us a sound and peaceful mind. He's able to protect us. We have to remember he's in charge, and he sees and knows everything. And he's able to protect his people all around the earth, no matter where they are. He can protect them all at once. So if you ever get overwhelmed and you want to read some things, you know, and think about things, these are blessings that God has given to the Christian people. One of them is that we've been chosen by God. We must never forget that. God has chosen us. I don't know why, but he has. He's chosen us. Another thing is that we've been adopted into God's family. That's something that we can really think about and in trying times look upon. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. You know, the world doesn't at this time, not yet, because they haven't been called. You know, we have acceptance before God, which again is through Christ, through His shed blood. And we are, no matter what the situation, we are to keep growing. We have to think of that. Whatever tests we're given, we must keep growing and striving to be putting on Christ, the mind of Christ. And every time that we fail and we repent, God forgives us. That's an amazing thing to think of. If we truly repent, He will forgive us. We have insight into what God's will is. We just read some of the scriptures. You could come up with many, many more scriptures, but God wants us to obey. We have an eternal inheritance waiting for us. That's pretty amazing. It says that we have the seal of the Holy Spirit. We have God's love and mercy. We've been given wisdom and knowledge of what is acceptable to God. And we know that the knowledge of God's plan is good. You know, we are to stand strong against the forces of evil. That's something that we need to think about as well. We should read and reread the book of Ephesians, because that's all those things are mentioned in the book of Ephesians. You know, we need to think about what God has done for us and what He's going to do for us. Well, let's turn to one last scripture, Psalms 91. I don't want to torture you any more than I have to here. Psalms 91, starting in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread on the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him up on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So in conclusion, brethren, no matter who's elected, no matter whose party wins, whether he be a dictatorship, whether it's a communist, socialist, Democrat, or a Republican, there will never be true peace and harmony on earth, because it takes God, and only God can bring it when His Son, Jesus Christ, comes back to the earth. We need to be closer to God more than ever now. As these uncertain things that are approaching, we have to have our confidence in God and believe in God's word, what He says. What He says He will do. Let's put no trust in any man and only trust God.